This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from beautiful, sunny downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And we're doing I'm having a quickie with you if you're up for it. That's just as bad as it sounds. But in all seriousness, the purpose of this episode is kind of a check-in with you guys out there, because I know some of you have had it rough these last few months. So we're kind of going over things really quickly for this go around. And joining me in our efforts, as she has been so admirably these last few months, is the one and only Cheryl Ann Forster, the C4, because apparently my mouth is blowing up just talking about her.
Yes. It's what I do.
Yeah. How you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing wonderful now that it's finally getting warm and sunny for a change. That cold and rain stuff just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, hitting the road at 6:30, 7 a.m. and feeling a nice icy blast wasn't doing it for me. So, yeah, nice to wake up to 70 degrees now that it's spring is all the way through. It's great. And it sucks that we don't have any playoff hockey that we're committed to, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I'm big fan of the warm weather as well. So yeah, I'm loving
the
that.
The pool is open. Now I just got to wait for the water to get warm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And in my case, fit into my swim trunks and maybe just maybe. That's another pipe dream. We're kind of checking in with you guys, cause like I said, I know some of you have had it kind of rough these last few months. Also we're going to briefly go over, some recent news, especially the, draft lottery. got a few opinions on that. I know some of you out there as well. I'll just start off with this. I thought, and it was mostly because I didn't have skin in the game, but I really thought these playoffs would be, well, to put it politely, a shit show. And, sorry if that's not safe for work, but I really thought that's what they would be. And then after the first few games, I got turned around, and because it's actually been pretty exciting. I love seeing, I know you've loved seeing the Kraken go as far as they have. And I'm slowly becoming a fan of them, because when they lose, they play some great hockey.
Cause you know what it is? And I've read a couple articles this and I've noticed it all year. They play as a team. They don't have, like we have Ovechkin and Backstrom and Edmonton has McJesus and Dreisaitl, and you know, they don't have the big superstar players. So right. There's nothing to distract them, if you will, from playing as a team. And that's why I like them so much. Now that could change, you know, in a year, you know, maybe year or two, whatever, they get a superstar, that might change. But for right now, they're playing as a team for each other, and it's working for them.
Yep.
You know?
And that's the
key. And I love it.
Yeah. And so by contrast, you had the Rangers, who stocked up on individual talent at the trade deadline. How'd that work out for them? It didn't.
People figured out how to stop it.
Yeah.
And Seattle's got that next man up. Well, if you're going to stop that guy, we're going to throw this guy at you.
Right. I mean, they lost their leading scorer, season leading scorer, midway through the first round, and they still managed to dethrone the defending champions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Barely, but they did it.
Well, they who won the, you know, who won the series? Who was smiling at the handshake line? You know, that's all right. That matters.
That's so. Right. I told you they were good. I told you back in January they were legit.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I knew they were improving. I just didn't think, I for one didn't think they'd be this good. But yeah, you know, like you said, they play a team game, and that's the key.
Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get out of this round, but because Dallas is a very good team, but we shall see.
Well, that'll be interesting. I was kind of, it's been kind of bittersweet because I don't know. I hope everybody, you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, have heeded my call, but I've adhered to my distaste for a certain four-letter network. So I have not seen a full minute of what they have presented on screen. I've stuck to that because they are, in a word, awful. And so I've relied on the radio calls. So it pisses me off that I can't watch the live action, but every time the Kraken have played, I have caught the radio feed, the Seattle radio feed, and they have a guy by the name of Everett Fitzhugh doing the play-by-play. And I am so glad this guy finally got a chance to call an NHL team home. A long time ago, he did a fill-in preseason game as a TV play-by-play guy for the Caps 1 year. And he's been bouncing around the minor league. We've mentioned him before. Mm-hmm. He's just waited for a chance to break through and call a team home, and Seattle finally gave him the call when they, you know, got their deal a few years ago, and it's great to see. And it's not just because he happens to be black. Okay. It has nothing to do with that at all. He is great at what he does. And if you give this guy a listen, you'll understand what I'm talking about. He's got the classic voice. It's hard to explain. He's got the voice for the play-by-play, and he knows what he's talking about, but he doesn't overly explain everything either. Now he reminds me a little bit of Joe Beninati, actually, because he knows when to describe the action, and then he knows when to let the ambiance and the noise speak for itself. So,
yeah,
you know, he's a little like John Walton also that way. So if you get a chance, if you got the app or, you know, you're online, go to the Seattle feed and listen to him call the game. I guarantee you, you're in for a treat. So that's,
I've been watching it on mute. So,
well,
cause I can't not watch hockey. I just watch it on mute.
I get that. I get that, but I am not giving them a single solitary second of my time.
I don't blame you.
Through any, because they are just, they're garbage. Everything they present is absolute garbage. Now, TNT, on the other hand, I'll watch them.
Yeah, TNT, TBS, they do a good job.
They do a pretty good job. You know, they clown it up once in a while. I'm looking at you, Biz Nasty, but even he presents some pretty good analysis at times. So
yeah, but at least they know how to call the game and not just keep talking about whatever.
Right, and at least they got people who do the play-by-play who know what they're looking at.
Yes.
On top of that, so
that's what I mean. You know, as opposed to the people on ESPN who are just talking about this, that, and the other, and you know, something. Oh, they scored.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a hockey game in front of me. I forgot about that.
Which is why I watch it on mute.
Yeah. Well, But yeah, I hope you guys will follow me in that boycott, because you know, the less people watch, if the league actually decides to pay attention, where you know people aren't watching the games on there and they're watching the games elsewhere, especially on TBS or TNT, mm-hmm. maybe they'll figure out, oh, okay, well, we kind of goofed with this national contract, even though, okay, yeah, maybe the four-letter network has the bucks and they don't care, which would be more than obvious.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, we're halfway through the playoffs, and it's been pretty good. I would like to see Seattle move on to the conference final, but they don't, I mean, to go seven games into the second round was probably
as a wild card.
As a wild card was a hell of a lot more than anybody expected. So definitely, nothing to be ashamed of for them if that's where it ends. So. Okay, so on to what a lot of you guys, I'm sure, were hoping for would be a better result, and that's the draft lottery. I know I meant for this to be, you know, kind of a nurturing episode or something like that, but look, I got to take some of you guys to task. I mean, some of you guys out there who were praying for the Caps to lose all of their games as much as possible for a better draft position. Please. And look where they ended up. Are you proud of yourselves? Same exact spot they were in. Are you happy? Are you proud of yourselves? Are you happy with how things turned out? There was no way they were going to, short of a goddamn miracle, there was no way they were going to improve that much, if at all.
No, we might have. I think the best somebody said we could get was maybe fifth. Maybe move up three, I think, was the best we could get. Maybe fifth pick, I think.
Well, the way the ping pong balls roll out, yeah, that was probably the most realistic. Of course, they said the way they laid out the rules is like the top 10 had a chance, had a shot at the top 10 or 12 had a shot at the number one.
Well, that's not wrong.
In decreasing order, but
well, yeah.
I mean, this whole thing about, oh, let's lose all our games on purpose so we can get the number one. Come on.
That's not gonna happen.
I mean, anybody honestly think that was going to happen?
No. And anybody who thinks that way just pisses me off anyway, because
yeah,
you don't want to lose games on purpose. I'm sorry.
Tank you go out there. Bedard.
There was no way we were going to get Bedard anyway. That's a whole different issue. But it's... Guys, it's theoretically, and I'm emphasizing that word theoretically, random. So what is it? How does it work? Each team gets so many ping pong balls based on where they fell in the standings or something like that.
It used to be like that. Now it's, oh my God, they could not make this more convoluted, which, and that's my other beef with this process. Why is it all behind closed doors? Why can't we actually see? So apparently the way
it used to be that way. I remember watching them do the ping pong balls back in the day.
I know it once upon a time was now it's some sort, it's 2-4 number combinations. So, I mean, so do they draw 8 times or is it like the Maryland lottery where, oh, up pops a number and, oh, it's this number. And, the lady turns the ball and, I'm lending myself to a really bad joke here where, balls are being touched, but, in all seriousness, I don't understand why we can't see the process as it happens, or does it take so long that, they don't think it'll make for good TV, or the more sinister, the more sinister interpretation is that there's a conspiracy theory, and the four-letter network.
I tell you what, there are a lot of people that agree with you, not just within our groups, like all over the freaking internet.
Oh, well, look, first, let me say this to squash all of that. Do I think there was some sort of conspiracy to hash out the results the way they were? And that being, of course, Chicago ending up with the number one pick. Do I think that was rigged, in other words? No, I don't think it was rigged. I honestly don't. But I will say that the league and that four-letter network did not do themselves any favors in not making it look like that.
Right. Well, it's funny because I was, you know, because there's a lot of people that latched on, because I just went back and reread the article about the thing, and it was talking about Bedard's, what, great-great uncle or something played for Chicago back in the day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Hey, look at you with Connor, with the research.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. Hold on. Let me see. Bedard, the Ducks, and the players, but another player, pressure. Hold on. I'm going to find it.
Sounds like the article was written in gibberish.
No, it was, it was not. Yeah, May 8th, 10 o'clock. Okay, hold on. Chicago.
Oh, while you're looking at that up, if you didn't bother,
I found it.
You out there. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Finish what you're saying.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
It said if the Blackhawks decide to select Bedard, he'll be the second Bedard to play for the NHL franchise. Connor's great great uncle, defenseman James Bedard, had 2 points, one goal, one assist in 22 games for Chicago from 1949 to 1951.
Hmm. Okay, so
some people kind of latched onto that little piece of information too.
James Bedard. Okay. Uh-huh.
Those are conspiracy theorists.
Well,
do I think it was rigged? It may not have been rigged per se, but the process should have been a lot more transparent.
Exactly. Exactly right. Perfectly said.
And because it wasn't, that's, you know, everyone's like, oh, what's his name? Bettman can't have a big six team, not, or original six team, not be the number one pick for too many years in a row. You know, it's like, really?
Just yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't think the league would go this far out of its way to rig the pick so that Chicago and the original 16, just like you said, would end up with the pick. And think about it. If they wanted to rig anything, they would have rigged it so that Anaheim got the pick. Because I think Anaheim is, well, they're part of overall with when you put them with LA, they're part of overall the number two media market in North America. Right. So if they really were rigging things, I would have wanted Anaheim to get the pick. And look, I couldn't be more pleased that they didn't get the pick, because that's a shit franchise if there ever was one. You know, yeah. you talk about a bunch of people that have run hockey into the ground. How have they managed to hang on to that?
Yeah, and they thought what's Trevor Zegras was going to be their savior.
Yeah, really. Oh my God, don't get me started on him. Mm-mm. But yeah, I mean, if anything, they probably would have rigged it so it would have been in their favor. If anything else, but
yeah,
I don't think there was a conspiracy. I don't think anything played out maliciously in Chicago's favor beforehand. I think what happened, even, you know, despite ESPN's efforts to not present it to the contrary, everything was I would have thought on the up and up. And as far as, you know, oh, look, Columbus has the third pick before, you know, they even open the envelope. That whole thing. I heard that was chalked up to pretty much a production error, which knowing how their producers have a tendency to F up really badly, as yeah. we've seen many, many times in the past. Yep. I'm not surprised at that.
Yeah, I heard about that too. So,
but poor Kevin Weeks, it's a shame because he, in that split second, he went from one of the most credible journalists in all of pro hockey to a joke in a split second when that happened. And the fact that he had no comment when he was asked for it afterward, he couldn't even yeah. reach for comment, didn't even bother to explain what happened, and others had to explain it for him.
Yeah.
It's just not a good look. And I think it was an unnecessary stain on the league. Now, I don't care about the network's reputation. They can go away forever for all I care. Mm-hmm. You know, all the booyah and all that crap. They can go piss up a rope for all I care. But the league did not come out of this looking very good at all. Yeah. And it raised more questions than answers. And I mean, if there's not some sort of change in the way at the very least this is presented, then, you know, it's just going to continue to make the league look bad. And, you know, I don't think, unfortunately, you know, Gary Bettman doesn't care.
No.
You know, enough about something like that. If this were the NFL or the NBA, the commissioner for those leagues would be out in front of this and be saying, hey, here's what happened. We apologize, this, that, and the other. And you know, yeah, their face should be on camera. Yeah.
Yeah. The process should have been more transparent. We screwed up because we, you know, the envelope, whatever happened, the envelopes got mixed up. Somebody, whatever.
There would have been something.
They read too far ahead on the teleprompter, whatever it was, you know.
Somebody would have been trotted out and said, okay, here's what happened. We're sorry. End of story. And that would have killed it. But nobody, dude, we didn't even get that. You know, it's like whoever does the marketing or the PR for the NHL is either asleep or there is no job. There is no such job. So, you know, boo on them for that. But that was a disgrace. You know, but I don't think there was any, look, there wasn't any, I don't want to see Chicago prosper either, because I'm not too happy with them for obvious and not obvious reasons, but there wasn't, look, there was no chicanery behind the scenes.
There's a reason some of those guys wanted out.
Yeah. And we'll leave it there. We'll leave it at that. And if you have been following news, then yeah, you'll understand what we're talking about. We're not gonna focus on any of that. But yeah, that's how that went. And how this affects the Caps, of course, obviously, yes, they got the number eight position, but still quite a few very available, very eligible and very talented players that are available in this draft. We'll get into more into that and at next month's episode to cover the draft with our in-house draft expert.
He's coming down there, Friday.
I will kind of whet everybody's appetite with this. Just because they're right now sitting at the number eight position doesn't mean there's not some horse trading or finagling or backroom dealing to be done, if everybody understands where I'm coming from, because it's not like you can't trade up. It's been done before, and I'm pretty sure that's how they got Lars Eller the 1 year.
I believe you're right. I mean, there's still quite a lot of people here. I mean, there's our friend was talking about Mishkov, who's a center, or even Leo Carlson, Zachary Benson, who's a left wing center.
Right.
You know,
to throw out a couple names, but yeah, as long as, you know,
we're not getting Bedard, we're not getting Fantilli.
Yeah. Let me pick up all the names you just dropped. Bedard is obviously gone. I think Fantilli is, yeah, probably going to be, he's going to need a lot of toilet paper because he's going to be number two. And, also Leo Carlson is probably going to be number three.
Yeah.
So those three definitely off the board, I would say, unless a miracle happens with the first three picks, but lots of other guys that, have a lot of talent, still left. Mishikov,
Zachary Benson, because we're going to need at some point to shore up our front lines, our forwards. I think we're in pretty good shape with defense coming up so far. I mean, assuming we can get Ferravari signed for a good deal. And please God, don't bring Olav back. I know he wants to come back, but I'm not sure that would be a good idea, honestly. But that's a whole different topic for a whole different day.
That'll be a July 1 discussion.
That's
the scuttlebutt around the team, is that they're looking to get younger and faster and better up front.
Right.
Especially if Ovi
wants to break that record and get another cup, we're going to need to do something, because the team as it stands right now is just not going to do it for him.
Right. And I,
much I've as been... we love the guy, and I will say this, I love Kuznetsov, even though he pissed me off this year, and I love Connor Sherry, but unfortunately, I think they're both going to be gone. Kuzi probably sooner than Sherry, but I think Kuzi was just way too inconsistent this past year, and Sherry, I think, he started off really well, but he kind of faded out too at the end. So, and his contract's up. I'm not sure we'll be able to afford to sign him again. So we'll see what happens with those two, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them gone before the season starts.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. Well, I wouldn't be surprised either way, but unless he gives the team some sort of sign, some sort of commitment that next year is going to be better than last year. Okay. I've been talking to a certain source about that. And this person seems to be of the opinion that Kuzi is pretty much out the door.
Yeah.
Probably
not the same source, but my source is saying kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Which pains me, because I owns one of his jerseys. And of course he's the guy that slayed the dragon that is the flightless birds in the second round. But
yeah,
you know,
I have his jersey too. And I have Sherry's jersey. And my thing is, I get the jerseys of the guys that aren't the superstars. So I get to wear maybe a year or 2 years and then they're gone. So I'm gonna have to get a new jersey, but that's all right. That's okay.
If you have to get to New Jersey, I'm wondering where.
No, I have to get a New Jersey.
Right. Okay. Well, that's better at least.
See, Sherry, Kuzi, if they're both gone, I mean, I have an Ovechkin jersey from the Stadium Series, but you know, I got to be different.
Well,
I think my next jersey is going to be Milano. At least he'll be around for 3 years. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those were good signs, signings, Strome and Milano, I think. Already building towards making sure their the upfront play is a lot better. So yeah, definitely. All right. So one last thing I wanted to cover before we put it away for about a month or so. Look, as I said, I've come to an understanding that, and I try to, as much as I can, check in with you guys. Last count, I want to thank you guys. Last count, we are at 294 followers on the Facebook page. So thank you so much, all of you. And even at that, okay, yeah, that number's not breaking down any doors. I get that. But even at that number, you know, it's kind of hard to keep up with, you know, what you're doing. But I personally try to be accessible. And that's why I insist on, you know, and I get if you don't want to, but I insist on if you can, if you're, you know, if you'd like to, friending me on Facebook. So it makes it a lot easier for me to message you and kind of check in, because we give a damn here at the Triple P. We do. Well, that's part of why we do this show, because it's for you, the Caps fan. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I've talked to a few out there who are regular followers of the show that confided in me that, you know, for personal and other reasons, they've, you know, kind of had a tough time of it this last year or so. And that's another reason why we're doing this. I'm going to rattle off some resources for the DMV and nationally.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, if you're not in a good place, in the end, the best resource you have is each other.
Yes, absolutely.
So
I speak from personal experience. If it wasn't for you guys and a couple other groups I belong to on Facebook, the last 2.5 years would have just been hell for me. And today is a particularly hard day for me, because 5 years ago today was the day my husband had his surgery and was officially diagnosed with brain cancer. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So
I
want to throw out a thank you to everybody out there who has been with me through this process, even though I haven't verbalized it to all of you. Most of you know what's been going down. So thank you all.
C4, I swear I did not know that.
Would have no reason to. I didn't tell you till just now.
That I'm being absolutely 100% serious about this. This is not some podcast stunt. I didn't plan it for this day because of that, folks.
No, I know.
So
you didn't know, because I didn't tell you till just now.
Right. So
I mean, I had no reason really to say anything, but it sort of just kind of segued. So,
well, I appreciate your sharing that with everybody. Look, there are a lot of resources out there in your local and regional areas, but again, the best resource you have, you guys, is each other. So, mm-hmm. You know, the one thing we like to do is bring Caps fans together. So if it's anything, and the off season tends to be a lot tougher because we don't have our team to focus on, but I mean, if it's anything, you know, you guys do have each other. You know, get to know each other. You know, and maybe, you know, might find a little common ground other than the Caps. And even if you don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting to know somebody that's, you know, has something of a different background than you. You know, that's what life is all about.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, it's. People are the greatest resource that we have, and that's what we try to be about here. But enough blubbering. In the DMV in particular, so let's go ahead and start with the District of Columbia. They have a website dedicated to it's the 9. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this, but it's the 988 line. I believe if you text 988 to I think 988 is the text line. And I don't know, I don't know what the message is, but you just leave a message with them, and that's the national lifeline. So that's one avenue. Okay. So if you text hello to 741741 also, that's available 24 hours a day, seven days a week throughout the U.S. Okay. 703-746-3535 is in the Alexandria area. And they also have information about DCHS as well. Arlington has their own line there at 703-228-5160. So if you're in the Arlington area of the Commonwealth, Culpeper County, 540-825-5656. And I will post all of these on the show notes for sure if you miss them. So DC Mental Health Services, they have their own website. I'll link that up. But they're at 202-673-2200. So that number again, if you're in the district, 202-673-2200. And they have diagnostic and assessment counseling, medication, day treatment, crisis services, the whole nine yards. So obviously fully funded, they can take care of whatever's necessary. And they even mentioned emergency psychiatric services. That number, that line is 202-673-9319. So again, emergency psychiatric services in the district, that's 202-673-9319, 24/7 as well, 18 and older. So that service is available. Now, the national, I don't know if I mentioned this also, but I want to mention it before I forget. There is a national suicide prevention lifeline. This is 100% and more important to me because I know people that have needed it. I know people that have used it, and it has saved lives. And it's there for a reason. And if you're finding yourself in not so good a place, it's there. And it's also 24/7. That number is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. And it's there. And I know for a fact it saved some lives.
Yeah.
So use it. It is there because it's necessary. And I can't describe it other than that, the reason for it other than that, because let's face it, life sucks sometimes. It really does. And you find yourself in a dark place for one reason or another, you know, sometimes self-inflicted, sometimes not. Sometimes it's for what seems to be, you know, to the outside world, a silly reason. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's whatever you have to deal with. And sometimes you can't deal with it on your own.
Right. And another great resource is NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI.org. So if you know someone who's in crisis and you're not sure how to help them, you can call them as well. And they can help you figure out what's going on. I mean, it's specifically mental illness, but they also deal with emergent situations. I know friends who have called them and gotten help.
Absolutely. And okay, so lest I forget my home state of Maryland, we also have resources. So let me go ahead and go through what I have for that. And some of these, I might have to do a little bit of extra digging, but some of these are absolutely at no cost as well. So right in my own backyard of Glen Burnie, should any of you be listening from there, Glen Burnie has a place called We Level Up Mental Health. So it's help.weleveluplevelup.com. I recommend that site. And Let's see. Best online therapy services can steer you towards a list of resources. BetterHelp therapists. If anyone's familiar with that app, hang on. I had the page.
Ooh.
Okay. So, there's a pro bono counseling page. They are at, easily enough, www.probonocounseling.org. And, that's a free resource, page that, will connect you to volunteers and, those offering free therapy as well in Maryland. And, everything's confidential, of course. Very easy three-step process. Mm-hmm. And they will put you in touch with their clinician network.
Yeah. And I found another website called Optum, APTUM. So maryland.optum.com. And it gives you a list of, for every county, all crisis hotlines, mobile crisis hotlines. Of course, it starts with the 988.
Right.
But it gives you a list of mobile crisis teams for each county. And then it gives you in detail every county. So like for Baltimore County, it gives you the hotline. It gives you a mobile, tells you when the mobile crisis team is available, tells you urgent care clinics that, you know, what's available in each county in terms of specific, like in Frederick County, there's a youth crisis hotline. There's a mobile crisis service. There's emergency psychiatric services that you can get through the hospital. So there are, please, all kinds of resources out there. If you need them, do not hesitate to reach out. It can save your life. It can save your friend's life. It can save your family's life. You know, even if one person is saved by somebody reaching out to one of these people that Gil or I has mentioned, then we have done our job in helping you help each other.
Absolutely. Now, Cheryl, you're out in Western Maryland.
I'm in Frederick County.
Yeah. Do you have, you know of any resources out there specific to if anyone in that area?
There's a mobile crisis service number. It's available. It's available from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. unfortunately, but it's, it is 7 days a week. It's 301-662-2255. Or you can call the hospital. They do have emergency psychiatric services through the hospital at 240-566-3904. There's a youth crisis in Maryland crisis hotline, which is a 24/7. It's a statewide 24-hour crisis intervention and supportive counseling. And I think you mentioned this number already. Hotline for suicide, family relationship problems, shelter needs, violent or threatening domestic situations, loneliness, depression, chemical dependency issues, and others. So 1-800-422-0009. I think you mentioned that one already. But the website I'm finding all this on is called maryland.optum, and that's spelled OPTUM.com. And it talks, so it gives you, there's quick links. There's actually a participant handbook that you can click on, and it's in a PDF file, and it just tells you, it covers everything from complaints, grievances, and appeals, client services, an overview of the system, how to access service, connecting your services. It gives you peer support services, your rights, education, recovery. It covers it all. So it's a PDF document you can download. I'm not sure how many pages it is, but you can get to that on that site. So please, 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 if you need that help, it is available. Trust me, I speak from experience. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And lest I forget, and of course, the Mermaid's home county, which is Fairfax County. I mentioned several counties already in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Fairfax actually has a service that comes very highly recommended now. Unfortunately, they're a little bit more restrictive because insurance is required. But it's the fairfaxpsych.com, fairfaxpsych.com is their organization, that website. Insurance is required. They do accept out of network patients, and they always accept new patients. They treat anyone as young as 3 and adults up to 60 for therapy. Ages 7 through 60 for medication management and 6 through 50 for psychological testing. But they do come extremely highly recommended if you're in that area of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So that's yet another resource that we'd love to, you know, make mention of and steer you towards should you be in need. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And then another resource, which I think most states have, is if you're, you know, 988 is national, but most states also have 211.
Yes. Yes, they do. That's another good one. So yes, thank you very much for that. Now, of course, this isn't the limit of, you know, the resources. Obviously we have, and thank God for you guys, but obviously we do have listeners outside of the DMV. So we're going to try and post some national information as well. Make sure that gets put out there. But, you know, the one great thing about living in the age that we are, you're never too far away as long as you can get online to find out, you know, some resources. You know, that hopefully you can get to where you are. Now I know it's not always easy for one reason or another, but I'd like to think that in a lot of cases anyway, that, you know, you've got options. Maybe some of you don't, and that's where, you know, just having somebody to listen to you, a fellow Caps fan, you know, that maybe on the other side of the country for all you know. Comes in handy, you know. Doesn't always have to be a licensed professional, even though that's best case scenario. But sometimes all it takes is just, you know, a kind voice and an understanding ear on the other end. Sometimes that's all you need, and that makes all the difference in the world. And we're going to wind it up here, but I'm going to tell you a quick story. And I've been on both ends of it, but there's nothing like being in a dark place and not knowing what you're going to do and letting that blackness take over you until you either hear that voice on the other end, or in some cases, see the words in a text. You know, and it could be a 10-minute session. It could be a marathon session that goes to 3 a.m. You know, I'm not going to go over some details, but I've been on both ends of those, and you know, it's enough if you let it be enough. I'm not one of these people that says, well, you know, pull yourself by your own bootstraps. Sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes, as the, I forget who said it, but sometimes it's what, you know, it's life is a fight. And sometimes you just got to take the standing 8 count and just kind of step back. But with some help, you can get back in there. And that's all we're really trying to do here. So, That was it. Now, without stretching things out too much further, just wanted to make sure that you guys all know that we're there, and you've got options, and that most of the time that's enough. That should hopefully be enough. So,
and another thing I want to remind you: it's never too late to ask for help.
Absolutely.
Ever. It took me 2.5 years. to get the help I finally realized I needed beyond just talking to my peers and my friends. So yes, it's a challenge. It's a hard step. And part of that was due to sheer stubbornness that I could do it on my own, but I finally came to, I can't. And it's okay if you can't. And for a lot of you, I know that's hard, but it's really okay if you can't do shit on your own. That's what we're here for. That's what these people, that all these resources we gave you, that's what they're there for. So that you can get the help you need and get back on track and do what's right for you and get, you know, your life where it needs to go, where you want it to go. You know.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's all. That's the alpha and the omega right there. Is, you know, find what works for you, but do something.
Mm-hmm. And you may have to go through a couple different places, and that's okay too. Because not every one source is going to work for everybody. That's why there are so many different resources, because everybody needs something a little different. And you just find the one that works for you.
Right. And, you know, you may have to go through, you know, different options. You know, sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you from experience, if they are unable to help you, they will help you find somebody who can.
Yes.
They're not going to leave you hanging. If they say, look, whatever you're dealing with is beyond my scope, or I can't help you because I don't have that training or whatever, but here's somebody who does, or call here. They might have somebody who does. And if that person doesn't, they'll know somebody who does. So you just got to keep trying. You can't give up just because somebody says no, or somebody, you know, because somebody will say yes. There is always somebody who's going to say yes. So don't give up.
And there's always somebody that's going to connect to you. Every problem has a solution. That's the thing you have to keep in the back of your mind.
Yep.
So.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, all right. So unless you had anything else.
I do have one more thing. Kind of thing. Is this something? Actually, not long ago, I was asked to come up with something like a little 2-second, 10-second little blurb for somebody who's actually doing a video for people in crises and stuff. So, and I just wrote, and I have it stuck up on my wall, and it says, just remember, you are beautiful, you are loved, you are strong, you are here, and you got this.
I don't have anything to add to that, so I won't. But yeah, that again, that says it all. So yeah, if you've been listening, you know, hopefully this helps. And if you're facing some sort of crisis, whether you know it seems insurmountable or it seems trivial, but it's just been something that's been gnawing at you for a while. Doesn't really matter. It's something that you're living with and is living inside your soul. And that's the guts of it right there. You have to deal with it somehow. And we all know that about 99.9% of the time, something that is bad does not go away on its own. So like Cheryl just said, do something. Find the help that you need. Because in the end, it's going to make the world a difference.
Mm-hmm. So. Amen.
All right. Now that we have either made all of our listeners cry or gag, depending on how they started all this. Going to wrap it up. And again, previews of coming attractions at the end of the month after the finals are, well, after draft weekend, we're going to have our analysts come on and go over the picks that the Caps made and in general as well from the top 10 at the very least. Mm-hmm. And a week or so after that, whenever free agency opens, we're going to have another episode. And barring any earth-shattering news after that, probably going to close up for the summer. And then it'll be see you in late September at that point and be another year of Caps hockey. So if you can't catch us before then, though we don't want to say goodbye for the summer, I'm not going to seal it with a kiss. So, but
see you soon.
Yep. See you soon. Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I hope we were able to help. So for C4 Cheryl Ann Forster, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that, speaking of therapy that's necessary, I just been for my prostate exam. Got the thumbs up.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.